is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, get your team ready for this season by shopping Dr. Dish's all-in sales event and receive an exclusive $3,000 off their top training solution, the CT Plus. Dr. Dish is here to help your players have no regrets, just results, and be all in this upcoming season with exclusive offers on their top shooting machines now during the Dr. Dish September All-In Sales Event. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Ted Hotelling, head men's basketball coach at the University of New Haven, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Suckle tonight. And we are jumping on to talk, I don't know, no NBA, some NBA, NBA?
NBA, yeah.
All right, NBA.
I don't want to talk
about
any other things.
There's really been a dearth of NBA news here over the past week. We did have the exciting near almost signing expected of Kelly Oubre Jr. to the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah. We had his dad on. So friend of the pod, Kelly Oubre Jr. Going to be replacing James Harden when we'll get to where we think James Harden's going to end up in a little bit. But you just plug Oubre in and very similar player to Harden, I think, right?
I think Oubre's probably a little more athletic, Mike.
Their sartorial tastes are very similar, I would say. They both have exotic tastes in wardrobes, so...
Oubre does not have a beard. Right? He does not have a beard.
Nor does he pass. So I guess it's all even.
He's probably a little more athletic than James Harden, though, right?
At this point, I would say probably, yeah.
Depends if Harden's in his fat suit or not, maybe.
That is correct. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what type of suit James Harden decides to wear this season. So Kelly Oubre expected to sign with the Philadelphia 76ers. There really, honestly, has not been very much NBA news other than that. As we head towards,
you mentioned it in the is Kobe Altman going to face some kind of punishment from the league? Is he going to get fined or like
probably you would think so.
He's going to get fined.
Yeah, you would think so.
He's not going to lose his job. Okay.
No, I don't think so. But definitely, probably will get fined and
have to go to some diversion program.
Yeah, I would think so. There'll be some type of internal.
Dude, you're the president of the Cavs. You can't get in an Uber or you can't. Have a driver or something. I'm just saying, come on now.
Yeah, it seems odd. I mean, anybody in that position, I guess, again, sometimes you have to feel like your judgment maybe isn't the best. Maybe you think that you didn't have too many and it's okay for you to drive. Who knows?
Well,
I don't know.
Here's a positive from it all, Mike. It said that he was cooperative and wasn't a problem. So at least that's
correct.
It wasn't a huge issue. It was an issue, but not a huge issue, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So,
Mike and I were sitting here. I called Mike at, 5:30 on the way home from cross country. Mike, what are we going to talk about tonight? And he's like, let's just talk about some big name NBA players and where we think they're going to end up in the next year. And then, so Mike sent me some players. So that's what we're going to do, guys. It's really exciting stuff. It's really just us pontificating on what's going to happen and guessing. And I mean, I don't know if we're going to really keep track of this, but you see next year.
Hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to get pen and paper right here because I've actually, believe it or not, I've created a Hoopheads folder that I have stored away that is going to keep all of our things. So I try to have all these random sheets of things that I've written down. So so we're going to, we'll call each other to task as time moves on to see whether or not these predictions come true. And we'll see, maybe on some of these we'll agree, maybe on some of them we'll disagree.
So, Mike, here's how I did it. This is how I kind of wrapped my head around this. This is guys I for sure think are not going to be where they're currently at. Then there's guys that I think there's a 50-50 shot of where they're going to be at. And there's guys who I think there is no chance in hell they're where they are at right now.
Okay.
So,
all right. How about we do this then? You lead with the names. You go with whatever category you think is the, I don't know, most interesting, least interesting.
Okay. Just so we know, we're doing this a year from now. A year from now, right, Mike? That's what we said. We're going to do this a year from now.
Okay, sure. A year from now is fine, I guess. Yeah, that's fine. I can go with that.
Because, okay. All right. So I'm going to start with the guys who I think there's no way in hell they're where they're at right now.
Okay.
Okay. First, James Harden.
Okay.
We've already mentioned him on the podcast. I think there's zero chance he's a Philadelphia 76er in a year. His contract is up. He's already says he wants to be out. Now, I'm not answering the question that he'll be there this year, whether or not.
Okay.
I just don't think there's any chance in a year from now that he's there. And I think he ends up in either L.A. or I can't believe I'm saying this, back in Houston again. I don't think that Houston wants him. I don't think they want to trade for him. But if they can get him for a cheap salary, they'll bring him back. But I think he ends up in L.A. as a Clipper, Mike. Where do you think Harden is in a year from now?
Clippers.
Oh, look at us.
So I'm going to put you down for the Clippers.
Yeah, put me for the Clippers.
Put you down for the Clippers. So we have Harden. We both have Harden to the Clippers. What about sending him to Texas and pairing him with Wemby for the Spurs? What do you think?
No, there's no way that
– No?
Popovich
Mavericks? Luka?
No.
Luka? Pair him with Luka?
No. Okay.
He wants to end up back in Texas? No? No?
No. No.
Okay. I'm good. I'm good with Harden to the Clippers.
No chance in hell they're at where they're currently at is Dame Lillard. There's no way he's in Portland a year from now. I don't know where he's going to – I think he's going to end up in Miami. I think there's no way anyone else is going to – there's no leverage for anyone else to trade for him. The Portland are going to get I just don't see there's any way. And does he only have 1 year left on his contract, Mike, or is he like around for?
No,
like
he's got way more than that. I think he has at least two.
Okay, I have no belief that he's going to be in Portland next year. There's no chance he's in Portland next year. I'm going to pick Miami because that's where it seems like everyone's pointing, and the fact that NBA 2K24 still has the commentary of him being a member of the Miami Heat already. I'm going to insider info. He's going to end up in Miami at some point.
All right. So I think I'm looking at Lillard's contract. He is currently under contract until the year 2027.
Okay.
So he signed a 2-year extension, which would have been for the 25-26 season and 26-27 season. That's a 2-year, $122 million extension. Good luck to Pat Riley with that one. I hope it works out for him. I think, okay, so you have Lillard to the Heat. I think when I look at it and I say Dame to the Heat, right, because that's what it feels like is inevitable. And yet at the same time, I look at it and I say I'm not really sure that what Miami has to offer is really what Portland wants. I mean, if Tyler Hero is the centerpiece of that trade – and you're Portland and you already have Anfernee Simons and you already have Scoot Henderson, and those are guys that you want to have the ball. It seems like Hero's a little bit redundant as the centerpiece of that Dame Lillard trade. Now, maybe Jovic, who had a nice FIBA World Cup, for the, I believe what he played is his Serbian. I believe he's played for the Serbs, maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah. But anyway, so regardless, I just think that Miami makes the most sense because obviously that's where Dame says he wants to go. But I don't think that it makes as much sense coming back the other direction. And clearly, Portland's under no obligation to meet Dame's trade demands in terms of send me to Miami or I'm not going to report. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I guess from that standpoint, if I'm Portland, I don't really care where he wants to go. There's always that talk of, well, we got to take care of our guys. And if we do that, then the next guy is going to know that we take care of our players, even when they're on their way out the door. And I just don't think that there's a whole lot of, I don't think that theory holds a whole lot of water, to be honest with you. I don't think players really care about how they treated the last superstar on their way out the door. I think they want to make money and they want to be able to win, and the rest of it I think is kind of irrelevant. So I'm not sure that that matters. I think it matters more on the other end of it from the standpoint of what teams are going to want to trade for Lillard with the idea that he may be disgruntled and not want to go there. So I think you have to make the Heat the favorite, but I think if you're Portland, you're not in a huge hurry to deal him for what Miami is offering. And maybe there'll be a better deal out there either from Miami or from another team come the trade deadline. I just don't know what Miami has to put in that trade that really makes sense with what Portland is trying to do. And so it feels like there should be another team out there. I mean, I've seen a couple of things where people tried to get Dame to Milwaukee, but Milwaukee really has no assets to be able to trade for him. Obviously, if you could pair Dame with Giannis at this point, that would be a nice pairing for those two guys to be able to team up. But I just don't think Milwaukee has enough. And then, of course, there's the another guy that we have on the list, Karl Anthony Towns. There's been the Towns for Lillard, some that being the framework.
He's my next one, Mike. To get him. Towns is, spoiler alert, he's my next one, and there's no chance he's in Minnesota at a year from now.
Okay, I agree with you. So, because look, I think I'm going to put – so I'll put Lillard on the Heat as well, so I'll say the same thing that you're saying. But I think there's – I don't think it's a slam dunk that he ends up in Miami. I think if he goes somewhere else, it could end up being – there could end up being some drama if he goes somewhere else. But it still seems the most likely that he'll be in Miami.
Okay. All right, so my next guy is Karl Anthony Towns. I just don't see him being there anymore. I think – they've kicked the tires on this whole thing, and it's just, I think it's time for him to go somewhere else. Now, where is that somewhere else? I don't have a great answer for that, Mike. I was trying to think, like, originally, you know what I thought? I thought Karl Anthony Towns to the Spurs would be an interesting fit just because I think Popovich would be able to do something with him. I mean, his track record with players of his caliber and size and kind of getting him in a spot to succeed, I think would be good. But I don't know that him and Wemby as a combination, it's already been proven. I know Wemby's a different player than Gobert, but does Towns and Wemby make sense? I don't know. I just think that was my initial thought was I think that Popovich could do really good things with him, maybe reinvent him a little bit.
Well, and San Antonio has a lot of players in that mid-range of salary and guys that aren't really superstars, but guys that are good, solid rotation players that if you're Minnesota and you're trying to build around Anthony Edwards and you're trying to build around what's ever left of Rudy Gobert, that those are the kind of players that you might want. Plus San Antonio, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they also have all their draft capital. Now, whether or not they'd want to give all that up for Karl Anthony Towns is another thing altogether. But I think your point about Popovich and potentially being a guy that could have a positive impact on Cat, certainly when you look at the talent that Cat has and when you think about trying to project him into whatever environment he might go to next, it feels like that Minnesota situation has been, let's just put it, I don't know, unstable, not the best basketball situation over the course of Towns' career. Now, he hasn't necessarily helped that situation, but I think that you would certainly, if you're trying to get the most out of Karl Anthony Towns, you would be looking for a place where he would have a good organization and environment to support him wherever he goes. And San Antonio would certainly fit that notion. So go ahead and continue.
No, it's fine. So like when I'm thinking about other teams that could use him, like Brooklyn comes to mind, but I don't know that Brooklyn's going to want him. I mean, and there's other big names that are out there for the team like Brooklyn, or like a big city. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think it would be hilarious if the Celtics somehow ended up with him, just because I'd love to hear Simmons want to pound his head against the wall with Karl Anthony Towns on his team. I just don't know. So I think I said it, and then like I was kind of hemming and hawing on it, but you reaffirming me, I'm going to go with he's going to end up as a Spur. I don't think it's probably where he's going to end up, but it's the only logical place that I can think. Like, I was just trying to think of other places that could use a big like him, and I really struggled. I mean, my other theory was I could just say the same team for all the players, and then one of them would probably be right.
There you go.
But yeah, that's a possibility. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say he's going to end up as a Spur, Mike.
Okay. So I think what I thought about this, and I guess putting the 1 year cap on it makes it a little bit different. And as I was kind of thinking it through, like some of these guys, clearly, as you're going to talk about, are probably going to be in their same location a year from now. But if you pushed it out to 3 years from now, I think the landscape starts to look a little bit different.
Some of them are going to be retired 3 years from now, Mike.
So the place that I'm looking for, the place that I'm looking at, and look, I don't know if it's likely, unlikely. I think to me, Karl Anthony Towns is a team, is a player that smart teams, I think, would want to avoid, which is why I'm not sure that he's going to end up with the Spurs, because I think smart teams are going to look at the guy and say, he's a tantalizing talent. He has lots of things that we might want, but it seems like there's something missing. Now, maybe the counter argument that you would make to me is that's exactly the type of player that smart teams would want to get. Andrew Wiggins as Exhibit A, right? He's in Minnesota. Everybody thinks he's a losing player, thinks he hasn't lived up to his potential. He signs that max contract and gets traded, goes to Golden State, and doesn't become a superstar, but becomes a guy who was very, very important, if not the second best player on their championship team in their run to the title 2 years ago. And so you could make that argument for Towns that put him in a better environment and he has more success, but I think he's a guy that he is who he is. And so I'm going to put Karl Anthony Towns on the Atlanta Hawks, which is going to speak to another guy that we're going to talk about. So I'm going to have Karl Anthony Towns on the Atlanta Hawks.
All right. So those are my only three that I had on the, there's no, I don't see them being there in a year.
Okay.
And a majority of the people on the are 50-50s for me, Mike.
Okay. All right. Let's go with the 50-50s.
Okay, so,
and let's assume that the 50-50 we're going to lean towards, they're going to be somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to make it more interesting.
So I'm going to start with the guy we've already talked about, so we can just get it over with. Harden. Or not Harden. Sorry, I didn't mean to say Harden. LeBron. I'm going to start with LeBron.
All right.
I think it's 50-50 that he's a Laker. I think there's lots of factors that are going to come into that. How successful are the Lakers this year? How's Bronny doing? Is he coming in the league? Or is he staying at USC?
Is he playing basketball?
Well, he's been cleared, I think, but he's not cleared to play like 5-on-5, if I remember reading that correctly, but I could be wrong.
LeBron was supposedly working out in Rochester, Minnesota, which is where the Mayo Clinic is located.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a lot of speculation that Bronny was at the Mayo Clinic getting more testing done and trying to figure out what's happening. And clearly, there hasn't been a whole lot of news since the initial burst of his cardiac arrest came across the wire. There hasn't been really much in the way of updates in terms of his health and the projection of whether or not he's going to play. And so I think that's one of the things that, as I've been listening and reading this stuff over the last couple of days, that there's been a lot of people talking about where that line of questioning is going to go on Lakers Media Day and how much LeBron is going to be willing to talk about that, how much he's going to be asked about it, and what he's going to say. So, yeah, clearly Bronny plays into this in a big way.
So
go ahead.
I think there's a chance he ends up in two places, Mike. He's either staying in LA or he's coming back to Cleveland. I don't think he goes anywhere else. You could make the argument maybe he goes to Miami, but I just don't see him going to that. I think that bridge is burned with Pat Riley, that I don't think Pat Riley would want him back. So I think he's either a Laker or he's a Cav, and there's nowhere else he can be. Because I just don't see him.
I think there's one other place he could be, but keep going.
So that's if you're not New York, what does that get?
Nope.
I just think there's nowhere else he's going to go. I think he's going to stay a Laker, or he's going to come home and finish his career with the Cavs. He did say he would finish his career with the Cavs. He didn't say it had to be necessarily be on that stint, Mike. So I'm going to say it's either the Lakers or the Cavs. Signed, sealed, delivered. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. I would say that you are right in that assessment, and that I think it's most likely that those are the two places where he ends up a year from now. I think there's one more wild card that could be in play.
What conference, Mike?
The Western Conference. The same state.
Sacramento?
No.
Not the Clippers. Golden State?
Nope. Golden State.
There's no
– telling you.
There is zero chance. Zero.
Okay, I'm telling you. Why do you say that?
He would never.
Buddies. They're buddies. They're all buddies now. They're friends now.
Mike, I'm
going to each other's weddings.
No. There is no chance that's happening.
Teams up with Steph. He needs a couple more titles to try to catch Michael.
No, because then Steph's going to have more titles than him. No. All those guys will have more titles than him. There's zero chance.
All right.
0.0. All right.
That's fine. I think Golden State is on the radar. I think they are on the radar. I'm not saying it's likely. I would put it at about, if I was putting percentages on it, I'd say 60% the Lakers, maybe even 70% the Lakers, 25% the Cavs, and 5% the Warriors.
No, there's no way, Mike. I'm telling you, there's no way.
All right. Hey, look, I'm just trying to have an interesting
discussion. If that happens, I might quit the podcast, Mike. I might quit the podcast.
You wouldn't get your Golden State LeBron jersey?
No. I didn't even get...
What number would he wear if he was in Golden State? Could he get Durant's number?
Would he buy 23 from Draymond?
Maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting. You have to wait and see. That would be interesting. All right, so you got to break it down to one team. Where's he going to be?
I'm gonna say he's gonna stay in the Lakers.
I agree. I think the pull of LA is too strong. I think he's a Los Angelino at this point. I don't think he's gonna come back to Cleveland. I just don't see that. So I think he's gonna stay in LA.
All right,
go ahead. Next one.
I'm gonna stay in LA, Mike, and we're gonna talk Kawhi. I think a 50-50 shot. He's either a LA Clipper or he straight up retires.
Interesting.
He's just not able to play. He's a weird dude. It's been documented. He's kind of a weird dude. And he might just say, you know what? I'm just done. It's not worked in LA. And that's that. I think that's a 50-50 shot that he straight up retires, Mike. I really do. I wholeheartedly believe that based on his health, based on how many games he's played, his inconsistency in playing, like he might just say, you know what? It's just not worth me doing this anymore. Like I know there's probably millions and millions of dollars that I could get if I kept trying to play, but he just seems like he's an eccentric, weird dude, and he might just say, you know what? This isn't worth it to me. And see, you hadn't even thought of that, had you, Mike?
No, I like that. I like the retirement. I had not had retirement as one of the choices. However, I will say that when you look at Kawhi, your point of him being a weird dude, as I was trying to go through this thought exercise with Kawhi, it was really, really hard to narrow it down to any particular team because I have no idea at this point what drives Kawhi Leonard to do what Kawhi Leonard does. And honestly, as I look through, as I look through the 30 teams, could Kawhi sign with the Orlando Magic? Sure.
Maybe he wants maybe he wants to ride Space Mountain a bunch.
Maybe he wants to play with Cade Cunningham in Detroit. Maybe he's decided that Lauri Markkanen's the next guy that he should hitch his wagon to, and he really likes the mountains. I mean, I have no idea. I really feel like he could end up just about anywhere. I don't have any sense of what would drive him to go to a particular place, a particular team. I'm going to say, though, that somehow, some way, Kawhi Leonard is going to end up on the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's an interesting choice.
And you have been, and you have him in retirement.
Well, I'm gonna say he's gonna stay in the Clippers. But I'm just saying when I say there's 50-50, I think it's I've got it between 50% chance.
I like it. I'll give you credit for thinking outside the box. So we'll put both of those choices down. We'll put retirement and Clippers down for your choice for Kawhi. I just don't think there's really, like I said, you could make a case for, I don't know, all 30 teams in all honesty, because I just don't think there's – could Kawhi be a guy that signs for the veterans minimum on some team that's trying to win a championship?
Yeah.
Sure. Could he be a guy who finds the one out of 30 teams that feels like he's worth the risk because of how good he is when he's healthy? And they give him a big contract. Sure, I could see that. Could it be a team that's a perennial doormat that hasn't been successful? Sure. Could I see him signing with Charlotte and playing with LaMelo? Sure. There's nothing that I would. There's nothing I would rule out. I think Memphis has an opportunity to add somebody to their core, to their mix. And I know they have Ja. You're going to have Jaren Jackson. You're going to have Desmond Bane.
Are you going to have Ja though?
Max or close to Max?
Are you going
to? You may not.
But are you going
to
have
Ja? I should have probably put Ja on this list, but I kind of felt like
you already went. Your list was even bigger than it was supposed to be, Mike. So we don't need any more people on our list.
I know. Well, let me just explain. I don't want to talk about Ja, but my thought process with not including Ja is that in a year, Ja is going to be on the Memphis Grizzlies. But who knows? Okay, let's move on. Go ahead. Give me the next guy. All right.
Let's go with Ja's friend. The guy who's not going to play 250 games in his career.
Okay.
Zion Williamson.
All right. Okay. All right.
He's my 50-50. Here's my rationale for a 50-50. If he somehow manages to survive the season and not get tempted by the food and injury bug, I don't see how New Orleans wants to get rid of him. He still has a few years left on his contract, right? This isn't the end of his contract. Is that accurate?
Well, he signed the max extension. So if he has a great season,
which I'm saying I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say there's about a 50% chance that he's going to have a great season and New Orleans isn't going to want to get rid of him. Then he's staying in New Orleans. If the same thing that has happened the last 3 years, that he's injured more often than not, he's not able to play, I think New Orleans kicks him to the curb. Now, where does he get kicked to the curb? Well, you got to start looking at teams that have assets that are going to want, you know, figure that out. And I couldn't really come up with a great team, but I'm going to think outside the box here, Mike.
Okay.
There's a team in the Eastern Conference that has been very, very close to a championship multiple times.
Okay.
And they just signed this guy to the richest contract in NBA history. could Zion Williamson get traded to the Boston Celtics?
I mean, so you're talking about the basis of this trade is a Jaylen Brown for Zion Williamson trade?
Yeah.
Along with other parts and pieces that might have to go in there. I mean,
so here's my rationale.
Both teams could talk themselves into it, right? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Boston could say, if we aren't successful again this year, like we had to sign Jaylen Brown to that extension, basically to ensure that we had something and he didn't just walk. Okay. But clearly this isn't enough. We need to do something drastically different. Zion Williamson could be that something. It'd be a fresh start for Zion. Et cetera, et cetera. Like lots of different pieces there. For
big,
New Orleans,
big market. Like, sounds like Zion. Zion's always want to go to a big market,
yeah.
Right?
No, yeah. New Orleans, on the other hand, could say, you know what? I'm done with dealing with Zion's injury and his eating habits and all his other extracurricular activities. Jaylen Brown, it's been relatively reliable, right? He's been pretty, I mean, I know he had the hand thing in the playoffs last year, but he played through it. Okay.
Yeah, he's been reliable. He's been
super reliable. He's been probably the most reliable member of that Celtics team, right? I mean, Tatum had some injuries and obviously Hayward when he was there had injuries and other players. So he's super durable, super reliable. And obviously, you know, he would be a good wingman to like what they've got with CJ and Ingram, right? Like I think they would fit all right. I think they would fit pretty well. So I think both teams
Ingram and Jaylen Brown fit together well. That's a feasible trade. I don't think it'll happen, but that's a feasible trade. There's a legitimate argument with that. So your theory that you went with was that there's going to be a team that's a title contender that hasn't been able to get over the hump, that thinks that the upside ceiling of Zion is worth the potential downside risk of him being injured, not being in shape, or basically getting kind of what we've gotten from Zion up to this point in his career. The plus side we've seen, and I'll say it again, I've said it a million times, when he's played and been on the floor, he's been historically great. I mean, statistically, when he's on the court, he's been as good as the all-time greatest players in the league. So clearly there's a huge upside there. There's obviously a huge downside. So if you're Boston, you're talking yourself into it's something different with a high upside. And if you're the Pelicans, you're saying we're tired of dealing with this guy. We don't think he's ever going to play. We know more about his medical situation than anybody else. We're going to deal him, and we're going to get a guy who's going to give us 70 to 75 games a year, and he's going to play good defense. He's gotten better every season of his career. He may not ever be a number one superstar, but he's going to be right there as a high quality number two. And maybe that makes more sense for what they already have. I think Jaylen Brown and Ingram could play together without any problem. So I like the way that you're thinking on that one. I went the opposite way. And what I tried to do when I thought about Zion is I tried to look at what's a franchise that has been bad, that has not really had a marketable superstar that they could build around in a long time. Who would be willing to trade things for a young player who, again, potentially could be one of the five best players in the league? What franchise would that type of guy make sense for? And I started going again towards teams that were not very good, that were looking for a face of the franchise type player. And when I look at all these teams, like let's look at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, right? Indiana, face of the franchise right now, Halliburton, pretty good guy to build around. Orlando, Paolo, Franz, pretty good guys to build around. Charlotte, say what you want about LaMelo, definitely a marketable guy. Whether he's the guy you can build around, I don't know. That's debatable. Some people would say yes, some would say no. Detroit, you got Cade Cunningham there. So those are four teams at the bottom of that conference that they arguably already have their guy. But there's one team in that bottom part of the Eastern Conference standings that does not have anybody, has not had anybody, and has been toiling in mediocrity for years and years and years and years without anybody marketable, and that is the Washington Wizards. And I know the Wizards are just in the process of tearing down and trying to start over and get young, but to me, Zion Williamson as a distressed asset, who he's going to be probably 23 at the end of this season, I think. If you could get him, bring him to Washington and have and get a healthy version of him, be a great situation for the Wizards. Now, if you're a Wizards fan, you're probably thinking, yeah, we're going to trade for Zion, and then Jason's definitely going to win his bet, and he's going to play nowhere near 250 games. So I understand that, but I think this move could make sense for the Wizards. And obviously, if you're the Pelicans, I'm not sure what players you would want off the Wizards roster, but you could certainly get more draft equity to continue to build your franchise around Ingram and CJ McCollum and whatever else you want to do down there. So you'd probably have to get back something in the way of a player, which might preclude this from happening. But I like the fit for Zion and his marketability and star power as sort of the face of the Washington franchise. And again, Washington, I don't care what anybody says, that's like a sleeping giant as a market in the NBA. It just feels like big city, fun city. If they could ever get it going, it seems like that would be a place that people would want to play. I know it hasn't been that way. I think it is. I think if you're young, I think if you're...
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
There is. But I think if you're a young guy in Washington, D.C., I think there's a lot worse places you could end up than Washington, D.C. You could end up in Detroit. So there you go.
Sorry to my Detroit listeners.
No knock on Detroit. All right. So you have Zion going to the Celtics.
Well, I think that's a possible. I'm going to go for it. So yes.
All right, let's just go for it. Come on, man. This is supposed to be fun. All right, give me your next guy. We're already 6 minutes past our.
We still have, and you still. Well, listen, this is what happens when you gave us 12 names. You said we were going to do 8 to 10 names, and we ended up.
Well, come on, we haven't even gotten to ten. Some of these are going to be easy.
Okay.
Although one is going to be interesting. Go ahead.
Okay. Donovan Mitchell, 50-50 shot. He's going to be in Cleveland, or it's Cleveland or New York. I'm going to say Cleveland. I think they're going to have a successful season and he's going to stick around. Done. I'm not going to say any more on that. I don't want to spend any time on that. You can spend as much time as you want, but that's what I'm going to say.
I think he's a New York Knick because I think that that's where he wanted to be before. And I guess it depends on how we define a successful Cavs season. Are the Cavs going to make the Eastern Conference Finals? Are they going to make the NBA Finals? I'm not 100% sold on that. I'd like to think it would be true. I'd like to think it would be possible. Last year's Knicks series just completely spooked me as far as what this team is, can be. I don't know if that was the players. I don't know if that was the coaching. I don't know what it was. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense based on what we watched throughout the regular season. But I know if there's anything else that happens even remotely like that, that Donovan Mitchell is not going to want to stick around in Cleveland to see what happens from there. Now, look, Mitchell was a big part of the problem in that playoff series, and they needed him to be the best version of Donovan Mitchell, and he was nowhere near that. He was way below what the best version of Donovan Mitchell could and should be. But regardless of whose fault it is, if that's what it looks like again, I think there's a decent chance that he ends up in New York. Now, I still think there's a good chance that he ends up in Cleveland, and I think that the Cavs could have a good season, but I'm a little bit nervous. And so if I was betting based on everything that I'm reading, hearing, it sounds like there's the possibility that Mitchell
wants to leave. What if LeBron comes back? He stays, right?
I guess if LeBron comes back, he stays. So we'll put that caveat out there. But I'm going to put Mitchell to the Knicks. You put Mitchell to the Cavs. Yep. All right, done. Move on.
Trae Young.
Well, I already answered that question earlier because I think that what I see is two not so bright franchises swapping superstars. So since I had Towns going to Atlanta, I have Trae Young going to the T-Wolves. Okay. Done. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about with him.
I don't know who wants him. So maybe the Knicks. I mean, he played well in Madison Square Garden, right?
Sure. Like,
sure, put him down. Put him. He's going to end up on the Knicks. I'm going to put him on the Knicks.
All right. Okay, I like it. I like it. Well, let's go to the next guy. Like, can we go? Can we go to Embiid now?
Yeah. Embiid.
All right. Where do you think? I think Embiid ends up with the Knicks.
Oh my God! Everyone going to the Knicks. You're thinking?
Let's team him up with. No, I only have
David Mitchell.
I mean, I have Mitchell and Embiid. I think it's entirely possible that the Knicks somehow end up with Donovan Mitchell and Embiid. Whether they have to trade.
One?
Yeah, I'm ready.
He's staying in Philly.
Philly.
I think he's staying in Philly.
All right. Okay, but yeah, maybe.
I think he's staying in Philly.
The question is, can he get to a better situation than what Philadelphia gives him? I mean, is Maxey and cap room to sign two near max players next summer, which is, I think, what they would have if they just let the Harden contract expire and they don't bring anything new in? Is that enough to convince him to stay? Maybe, maybe not. I think the question just again becomes, like, what's a better situation? Where can he go where the roster is more ready-made for him to be able to win? And does he care about playing in a big market? Is that important to him?
I think he's staying in Philly. Done.
Okay.
Hey, Hoopheads Nation, whether you're a beginner basketball player looking for a place to start or a seasoned vet looking to level up your skills, I want to tell you about your new go-to secret weapon. It's called Train. Train is a basketball training and education platform that gives you on-demand access to premium basketball courses created by expert coaches and trainers from around the world. Want to get better at blowing by your defender? Learn setup drills with NBA and international pro trainer Marius Williams, or how to use the punch drag with NBA trainer Kerry Darting. Looking to level up your catch-and-shoot skills? Practice space shooting workouts with former lead female trainer for Kobe Bryant's Mamba League, San Dixon. Or if you're just starting out, learn the basics of shooting and finishing at the basket from international champion, three-time Romanian Player of the Year, and Train co-founder, Vlad Moldovanu. Train has 32 and counting actionable, expert-led, on-demand basketball training courses that teach you exactly how to improve your ball handling, shooting, attacking, and more. For a limited time, Hoopheads listeners get 35% off monthly, annual, and lifetime plans. Just go to gotrainbasketball.com/hoopheads to learn more and sign up for a free 7-day trial.
Let's go Giannis, Mike.
All right. I got one for you here on this one, but I'll let you go first.
I think Giannis is going to be the one that ends in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think
interesting.
I think Giannis is going to New York, Mike. I just something in my bones.
So you think this is more than just speculation? This is what you think is going to happen?
Yes. Like this is what I think is going to happen. Now I still think there's a good it's either Milwaukee or the Knicks for me. And just because I'm gonna go with the Knicks. I think he's gonna end up with the Knicks. I think this year the tea leaves don't necessarily look as well for him to stay in Minnesota or Milwaukee as it had last year. So I'm gonna say that he's gonna end up with the Knicks. But I still wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in Milwaukee.
All right, so let me ask you this in regards to the Knicks, and I'll tell you where I think he's gonna go.
Yeah.
Are you plugging Giannis into the current version of the Knicks, meaning Giannis is the only guy that you are adding to that mix, or are they doing something
else? No, Trae
Young. Trae Young. So you're pairing Giannis and Trae Young together.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Okay. So here's my take on Giannis. So up until the last 3 months, Giannis has been the good soldier in Milwaukee, right? He's been a guy who said, I don't know if he specifically said, I want to spend my entire career in Milwaukee, but he certainly has taken pride in the fact that Milwaukee was able to build organically and take a team, not be a super team, but take a team and build it with Middleton. And, you know, you trade for Jrue Holiday and you've got all these guys and you're in a
city that most people would think is not one of the glamour cities, one of the glamour franchises in the league. And Giannis has seemingly been very, very happy. I saw a thing today that I don't know how recent it was, but it was him talking about how he doesn't want to work out with any current NBA players because when he works out with them, then they become friends, and he wants to, when he gets on the floor, he doesn't want to look at those guys as I'm competing with my friends. He wants to look at them as, I don't know if enemies is the right word, but basically that he didn't want to befriend other guys in the league because he wanted to have that healthy distaste for them when he was competing against them on the floor. So kind of an old school mentality, which you and I have talked about.
Here's his quote, Mike. Do you want me to read his quote?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know how to be phony. I don't know how to be fake. That's why I keep my distance, because I know that if I work out with people, it takes active players. It takes off my edge, and when I get to play against them.
Yeah, so well said. I think that's one of the complaints that old guys like me and you probably have about the league today, that it seems like they're awfully friendly. I kind of prefer my rivals to have a healthy dislike for each other. Most people like when you have legitimate rivalries as opposed to guys that are always hugging after the game. Not that there's anything really terrible about that, and you can understand where it comes from, but at the same time, I kind of like my rivalries with a little bit of distaste, that when I lose, I'm not ready to hug my opponent. I'm maybe just a little bit upset that I lost. So I kind of like that from Giannis. But I guess my point in saying all this is that it feels like Giannis is obviously dropping lots of breadcrumbs that whatever is going on in Milwaukee, that he's not 100% sold on what they're doing. Now, I don't know what he's not sold on, because obviously he had to sign off on hiring Adrian Griffin as the head coach and replacing Coach Bud. I can't imagine that he didn't want Brooke Lopez to come back. I can't imagine that he didn't want them to re-sign Chris Middleton. I'm sure he's going to want him to re-sign Jrue Holiday. So I'm not sure exactly what his complaints are, but I do know that for a long period of time in his career that he was happy in a non-glamour, non-major market in the NBA. So my thought process is, where could he go that – when you normally think about superstars and where they're going to go, you have to look at just the major market. So you're starting with the two New York teams, you're starting with the two LA teams, you're starting with Golden State, you're starting with Philadelphia, you're talking about all the Chicago, the big markets. With Giannis, I felt like I didn't have to do that. I kind of felt like when he's a free agent, or when he says to Milwaukee at the end of this season, I got 1 year left on my contract, I'm going to leave, trade me somewhere, where would he want to go? And where is the young core that he wants to play with? And I'm going to probably pick the most unlikely market that anybody would ever want to go to. But I think that the roster is set up perfectly to add Giannis. And if you added him, you would have a championship roster. And I think this team could pull off a trade. I think they could probably find the money to sign him outright without knowing exactly what their salary cap situation looks like. Do you know what team I'm talking about?
No, I don't. Mike,
it's a Western Conference team.
In the state of California?
It is not in the state of California.
State of Texas?
It is not in the state of Texas.
Trying to narrow it. I got rid of 7 teams, I think. Or
it is a team that has a first team All NBA player.
Oklahoma City.
I could see Shea, Giannis, and then whatever combination you want to keep of Jalen Williams on the wing, Giddy, Chet. Feels like you put Giannis with Shea and you've got an instantaneous championship contender, and then Oklahoma City just has a ton of pieces. And I guess they probably, again, if they trade for him, they'd probably have to give up a lot of the draft equity that they have. But they've already got enough on the roster that I think they become an instant championship contender. And like I said, I just think Giannis is not going to contain himself to big markets. I could see him saying, I can go to Oklahoma City and I can win. He just strikes me as the kind of guy that's not going to care about being in New York or being in LA. Not that he wouldn't go there, because I think there's probably a decent chance that he does end up with the Knicks. But I also think that being in a glamour market is not going to be a make or break for Giannis like it would be for some other guys. And so I'm going to say Oklahoma City.
All right. Fair points. Fair points. All right. The last two guys on the list, Mike, I have staying in their location. I have Luka staying in.
Luka's going to be in Dallas. I mean, I don't see how or where he can go. I mean, I guess he could force a trade somewhere, but if he did, looking at it, obviously every single team in the league would, at his age,
I mean,
and what he's done to this
point.
Really
like having him in the Cavs really like having him, the biggest Slovenian population, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, any franchise with a guy this young that's done what he's already done, I mean, there's you'd clear out pretty much anybody you could clear out in order to make room to have Luka. Yeah. So I would have no idea if he wasn't in Dallas. I have no idea where he'd want to go. And to be honest, we don't really know. I mean, I don't know what kind of how does Luka want to play. I don't know what style of basketball he's looking to play. I don't know who his friends are in the league. It would be really hard to try to come up with another team. And I think it's most likely, especially if we just say a year from now, he's going to be in Dallas. There's no question.
And I have Siakam staying in Toronto because I don't know that there's a lot of people clamoring for Pascal Siakam.
Well, I think the thing with Siakam is there's a lot of teams that probably would want him. The question just becomes how much do you have to pay him? Like if he makes third team All-NBA this year, which he's done multiple times in the past, and very well could this year. Now you're looking at having to pay him a max contract. I'm not sure how excited I would be to pay Siakam a max contract. At the same time, I think if Siakam was your second or third best player, I mean, he already won a title with Kawhi, and he wasn't very good, granted, in that particular playoff run for the Raptors. He wasn't nearly
–
that was probably his – he didn't look nearly as good in that particular run as he has. But again, won a championship as a not alpha player, but certainly as a guy that was supportive of Kawhi in that championship run, maybe not to the best of his ability, but still played that role before. There's probably a contender that would want him. The question is, how much would anybody want to pay him? And I don't think you'd want, unlike a guy like Zion, there's no bottom feeding franchise that could talk themselves into, hey, if we bring Siakam here, he's been a third team All-NBA guy. He's a guy who could take a leap and become one of the five best players in the league. I don't see that scenario in any way, shape, or form materializing. So you're looking at what contender might want to add him. As I look down the list, Memphis maybe, Sacramento possibly could be a team that might want him. I could see Miami being interested in him.
What about Philly?
Philly would be interested. I think that there's a possibility. I don't think Philly would trade for him, but maybe there's a way that I forget. I don't know. I forget how long his contract is. I don't know if his contract is up this year. It's a question of what would you be willing to give up for him? I think it's probably most likely that he stays in Toronto. But just to make things interesting, I'll say that he's going to go to let's just put him in Sacramento.
All right. I'm keeping him in Toronto.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So we've got it. I've got the list. I'm going to add it to the Hoopheads
official file folder.
List of the basketball, the official file folder.
You should put it in an envelope and say, do not open until September 19th, 2024.
There you go. All right. I'm going to put the date on it just so we have it. September 19th. 2024, and then we're going to double check and we'll see how wrong we are. We'll see if we have any of these right.
We need to set a reminder that we did this because we've forgotten we were going to do 1 week ago one time.
Yeah, probably true. Well, I guess what I actually need to do is rifle through the folder every week before the podcast and just see what's in there so we can take a look at it. I actually did decently last year because I remember I wrote down all of our over-unders and we double-checked those. And I know we double-checked all the contending tiers, which will be two things that we'll do again this year.
We're going to have to make a prediction who's winning the in-season tournament this year, Mike. That's going
to
be a new one.
Yeah, we got to do that too. So that'll be something new. Good luck trying to predict that. I guess depends on how soon do those games start? Do they start like the first week of the regular season or how long into?
I think the first week of November.
All right. So you're not going to have any idea. It's not like you're going to be able to watch a month of the season and then get a feel for who's playing well and who's not. I mean, look, the in-season tournament, all you're looking at for that is which team, is there going to be a team that actually, is there a team that cares?
I think the Cavs should care.
Right? Yeah, maybe. I mean, based on maybe you want to try to get the bad taste of the playoffs out of your mouth, so you try to win that. It'll be interesting because there'll be some teams that will care that I think you'll be able to tell that they care, and then there'll be other teams that clearly you'll be able to tell don't care. And so we'll see what happens. Yep. But yeah, I think we'll definitely make a prediction on that. Although I think those will be wild stabs in the dark at best.
Well, yeah, we'll predict who wins each group. That's what we're going to have to do, Mike.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
All right.
That's it.
I don't want to spend time talking about the other thing that I don't want to do.
What?
Listen.
Can I just sum it up?
Season's over because Nick Chubb's hurt. Does anyone want to just say that?
Browns got a Browns, man. That's all I got to say. I mean, that was the most Browns loss you could possibly have.
Mike, would you be super surprised? I won't be honest. This is just me asking you an honest opinion. Would you be super surprised if this Sunday when they play Tennessee, they just all of a sudden they played really, really well this one for one game? Would you be super surprised? Like they just put it together for one game?
Nothing would surprise me with this team. Nothing.
I mean, the defense was so good. And we lost. The defense played so well. They had one, as you said to me, one bad play.
Right, one play. And then you give up two defensive touchdowns. You miss a field goal. Chubb goes down. Watson appears to be, at best, a mediocre quarterback. That seems to be his ceiling.
I said to you on the phone, Mike, if Baker was the quarterback last night, we won that game. Because he would have rallied them because of the Nick Chubb injury. He would have been in that. I mean, he would have been in that huddle, like demanding, not tank.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Look, I mean, maybe you can make a case for whatever Mayfield's charisma or whatever within the locker room. And I don't know how believable any of that is or isn't. I think, sure, might he have won that game? Yeah. But to this point, what's most disappointing is I don't really see any difference between Baker Mayfield and Deshaun Watson. I just don't. I don't think either one of them, maybe one of them has strengths that would enable them to excel in this particular game or in this particular situation. But the bottom line is, both guys, at least this version of Deshaun Watson, are mediocre at best NFL quarterbacks. And as I've said for as long as we've been talking Browns on this podcast, that you're just not going to win. Now, maybe we have a historically great defense. I'm not sure that's the case. I think the defense is good. I don't think it's historically great. But you're not winning playoff games and a Super Bowl with a mediocre quarterback unless you have the 2002 Ravens defense or the 85 Bears. And I don't think we have either of those two defenses. So good luck with that.
Okay. Done. Done.
All right. Pack it in. And
I think, Mike, I think next week, if we don't have any news, let's make predictions of the in-season tournament a month before the season even starts. Let's just say, look at each group. You write this down in your file folder.
Show notes, put it in the show notes. Next week, Mike and Jason will discuss.
Yeah, we make way too early predictions because I think we can make logical guesses as to who we think is going to win each group.
Yeah, that's probably true. When you're only having to narrow it down to one out of every five, I think you're probably right.
I think we can narrow that down and then go from there. Let's put that on the docket for next week. And if something crazy happens, then we can table that. But I, for some reason, I just feel like training camp starts soon, right? Like it's got to start. Is it August? Is it October 1 or what? Like,
yeah, media days. I think we're a little less than 2 weeks now from media day. So what's today? Tuesday. So I'm guessing maybe a week, 2 weeks from yesterday. Maybe they're on a Monday. I can't remember, but yeah, it's coming up.
So
it'll
be October 2nd. So
there you go. Sounds about right.
I mean, you got to imagine that, you know, we'll have some news coming out soon. Like we'll have to talk as Dame showing up to training camp and all that fun stuff. But like, it's Harden showing
Zion in shape.
It's Harden wearing a fat suit. Like all these things.
Is
Harden doing his best Tim Allen in the Santa Claus impression?
Is Ben Simmons ready to dominate?
Okay, so we'll have some of those discussions soon, but we might have to do one more filler, Mike. We might have one more filler here.
All right, I like it. I like it. That's a good idea. Okay. So we got it. I got it down in the show notes. All right, let's leave it there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to tonight's NBA episode. Really appreciate it. Make sure you check out all of our regular interview episodes that we do here on the Hoopheads Pod. Always a ton of great information from all the coaches that we're fortunate enough to have on. So please check those out. And we appreciate you listening tonight. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.